It's that time again, the most popular hour on AM radio and Catholic radio, coming to you on Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte, 1270 AM from our Charlotte studio. It's Faith and Sport Time. We're also broadcasting across the Radio Maria broadcasting area as well. Good to have our Radio Maria listeners tuned in today for a brand new edition of Faith and Sport. And you know him as Dr. John Aguaviva. Here he is, the host of Faith and Sport, the man, the incomparable, Dr. John Aguaviva.
What an introduction. Hey, folks, wherever, whenever, however you're joining us, we're glad that you joined us for the show today. I'm Dr. John Aguaviva. I teach exercise science. There's the crowd. They're always a little late, as long as they're here, though, brother. I teach exercise science at Wingate University, but every once in a while I come down here to the crazy Catholic radio station, and we do this program called Faith and Sport. Here's what we're going to do today. We are going to talk today's sports topics, including our hit and miss with co-host Ed Billick. Our guest today in the second half of the show is Dr. Brian Bolt, a regular of the show. He's a professor, dean of education at Kelvin University, host of the podcast Sport, Faith, Life. In fact, he has a book by the exact same name. All right, we're going to do our stat of the day and the quick Q&A with Dr. A. Ed Billick, welcome to the program, buddy. How you doing?
Greetings, Dr. A. Greetings, Chris Pressler, the producer extraordinaire. Thank you for making us sound good here on this afternoon here at Carolina Catholic Media.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Always a great time here in the studio with Dr. John Aguaviva and
blessed.
The great Ed Billick.
We are blessed, ladies and gentlemen. We're celebrating St. Joseph this week. Last week, we celebrated St. Patrick.
That's right.
It's wonderful. Our father.
No, this is fantastic.
Our father's father.
No, you know, remember a couple weeks ago I asked you, I said, Ed, we ran out of the Catholic calendars at Mass at the first of the year. Yeah. I love having one in my office, and I love one having at home. And one of the main reasons I like it is I get to keep up with whatever saint of the day it is. And of course, as you probably know, there's numerous saints' days.
Sure. When you go to a couple of these apps and you pull in the saint of the day, there's like five or six heard of. You know, someday it'll
That's
be
right.
St. John Aquaviva down there. What day would that be?
Chris couldn't even help but laugh.
April 1st.
Did you hear that?
That's
the first time I've heard him laugh that hard in a long time, because you said there's a possibility.
Maybe April 1st, because that's Fool's Day. No, I shouldn't do that. I'm sorry.
There you go, folks.
Father Friday.
I know. Yeah, I know. Very good. Folks, whether you're listening to us via Carolina Catholic Radio or Radio Maria, it doesn't matter to us. We are so thankful that you are here for the show. One of the things that Ed and I do to start the show, just about every time we do the show, just about every time him and I are together, whether you're Zooming in or calling in or whether you're here in the studio, is we kind of start off with maybe some type of highlight or low light, something good or negative in the world of sport, which we call our hit or miss. Why don't you get started in this conversation, brother? What is your hit or miss?
Well, this past weekend, a lot of us were watching March Madness.
That's right.
And I'm not going to talk brackets. I'm not going to talk what shape I'm in. That's not important.
Hang on, Ed. Do you know why he doesn't want to talk about how good a shape his bracket's in? Because he's doing terrible.
Terrible. But, you know, we educate on this show
in our
Catholic faith.
We do.
And you will not hear this on CBS or True TV or TBS or TNT.
That's right.
But three Catholic universities have made it
to the
Sweet 16.
And what does the Sweet 16 mean?
Of course, those that from 64 teams, you know, play each other one game elimination, are down to 16. They'll play the following weekend. But and some of this, I had to go look it up because I wasn't quite sure. Pitt lost to Xavier.
Yeah.
Xavier in Cincinnati, Ohio, a Jesuit.
Yep.
They're the fourth oldest Catholic university in America.
Interesting.
Yes, they were founded in 1831.
There you go.
So then you go over to Creighton. Where's Creighton?
In Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska.
That's right.
Founded in 1878, and they have an enrollment of 8,400. These are great Jesuit Catholic universities.
And the third one?
And the third one is Gonzaga out in, the state of Washington?
That's right.
Founded in 1887.
There you go.
The founder is Joseph Cataldo.
I like him already.
Italiano Cataldo.
I like him already.
And he named the university in honor of St. Aloysius Gonzaga.
That's right.
And they have 4,800 students. So three of the schools are great Jesuit Catholic universities. Hats off to them for teaching morality and faith and sport the
right
way.
No,
so that's
no,
my hit. I had to dig that up. I found that quite interesting.
No, that's great, brother. You know, one of the things I'd like to know, because it's one thing for all these Catholic institutions to exist. There's like 125 plus of them. Over the last couple of years, some people have been kind of stripped of their Catholic identity. The Pope, it usually comes from the Vatican. They ask him to do that. Other ones have tried to gain Catholic identity and so forth. But there's about 125. What I'd like to know is see some type of poll or survey on how many people say have graduated in the last 10 years from a Catholic university that actually became Catholic as a result of attending that Catholic university.
And or went on to be successful in life. And I don't mean just business. I mean with family and all that.
Sure.
That would be quite interesting. Very interesting.
I would think it's going to be some because, like, for instance, one of the things about – I remember I interviewed for a job at a Catholic university. And one of the things that was – the reason it was appealing – is they offered Mass every day right in the heart of campus. You've been on Belmont Abbey's campus,
right? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the chapel's right in the middle of the campus. You have no reason not to go. It's throughout the day. And I am sure that there's people every year that convert as a result of being in that community. And it'd be interesting to see, like, just how many people. Because the reason it's neat to every kind of faith wants to see converts, right? Everybody wants to see people convert to what they feel is the truth. And the reason I think it's so interesting is that that is one of the kind of unique qualities of our faith is that we have 100-plus universities, and most of them are known by name, right? You and I could sit here for the next 5 minutes.
You're Boston College, Notre Dame, keep
going. Of course.
Going.
Yeah, it goes on and on. And some of them have names that you would never think, like University of Dallas, Dayton, for instance. Those places, they don't sound Catholic, but they are Catholic. But it'd be interesting to know, like, what are they doing? What's happening on that campus that's truly bringing the faith to the students?
I was reading a tweet from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and this goes out to our Radio Maria listeners. Duquesne University has basketball and they have football. So they're saying to themselves, why don't they put all their money towards basketball?
Yeah.
And start recruiting some of these great players and raise their program.
Yeah.
But you're right. The Catholic University, which I graduated from, Gannon University.
That's right.
Gannon
you would never know by name. That's
yeah,
right.
Daily Mass every day. Took theology classes. But anyhow, shout out to the three that made it to the many big-time teams, Kansas, Arizona,
that's right. Yeah, big
Virginia,
names.
That didn't make it.
These three did.
Yeah, they Gonzaga, Xavier, and Creighton.
You know, I did what probably a lot of Catholics do, is when I didn't really know who was going to win between the two teams, I'd pick the Catholic school. Like Marquette was a really good example. They're not in the Sweet 16. I think they deserve to be there. In fact, who'd they lose to? They lost to Michigan State. But not that Michigan State, right? I'm from the state of Michigan, but I'm a Michigan fan. However, when I saw Michigan State Marquette, I was like, any team could win here.
Well, you
but
know,
I
what's
Marquette.
Funny. You, it's a nice lead into Michigan State because up there in East Lansing,
is
the first 3 months of the year are January, February, and Izzo.
I love it. No, in fact, I wrote my two friends, Jerry and Scott, yesterday. I texted them and I said, I love Izzo. I'm not a Michigan State guy, but I love Izzo.
He was crying after
oh,
the
that
game.
Guy. I love
he was
that
so
guy,
emotional.
Man. He's just he's
it's,
real.
It's his
he's just
15th
real.
Sweet 16.
I know. That's outstanding. And, you know, one of the things, one of the reasons I like him is the looks he gives the referee when they make a bad call. He's ready to start crying. It's hilarious. Anyway, folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. This is Faith and Sport, and this is where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you're an athlete, whether you're a parent, a grandparent of an athlete, a referee, administrator, whatever the case is, you're involved in sport, this is the show for you because we talk sports. You can hear the sports talk in virtually everything we chat about. However, we try to bring morality, character, and other
ethics.
Yeah, and ethics into the conversation. Co-host Ed Billick is here in the studio today. Thank you for joining us, folks. We're in the middle of our hit or miss, something good or negative in the world of sport. Go
ahead. Before you go, I just want to give a shout-out while we're in between topics here to Jason Murphy, who conducted this week's Catholic Men's Conference
right.
up at St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
He did a wonderful job. It was his birthday, Jason Murphy. He's a
fantastic
voice here on Carolina Catholic
fantastic
media, so he did a great job. Nice job, Jason.
And congrats to him. And I cannot overstate this, Ed. I am so thankful for people. I'm so thankful for Jason and all people that step up to those much needed and just really important roles in our culture. He's not paid by the diocese. He's not paid by Carolina Catholic Radio. I don't, you know, he almost, in fact, without us talking about him, nobody would even know who runs the whole thing.
He has a lot of passion for this.
Yeah, and this is a really big deal. And over almost 250 men showed up again this past weekend.
And this was the 13th annual.
I know, that's fantastic. So thank you, Jason. Congratulations, because the thank you is for saying yes to this ministry, but also a huge thank you for carrying this through.
And many of you hear him on the radio.
That's
with
right.
His show obligation.
He's got the obligation, and he is a periodic guest host on this show as well.
Absolutely.
So, Jason and I are friends. He's a friend of the show, and I'm so appreciative of him. I feel blessed to know Mr. Murphy. I'm thankful for that.
Do you have a hit or a miss?
Brother, I have a miss, and it has to do with the aforementioned 64 team tournament called the NCAA tournament. Okay, folks, let me set this up. It's quite possible you're listening, you turned on the show, or you're actually a fan of faith and sport. Regardless where you are, I have to set this up a little bit. It's about UNC Chapel Hill's basketball team. Now, to set it up a little bit, last year they were in the final game. They were not expected to do well. Their longtime coach that came over from Kansas, named Roy Williams. He came over, he was very successful at UNC, and he stepped down, and a gentleman by the name of Davis, Hubert Davis, stepped into as a former Tar Heel himself, and boy, did he do a great job. Long story short, he took him to the final game.
Kansas beat him.
So six rounds, yep, he goes to the final game. They easily could have won the national championship. So Ed, who was the incoming preseason number one?
Yes, they were.
UNC. And they lost, if I'm not mistaken, they lost four times in the first 2 weeks of this season. So they looked like the opposite of last year's team. I mean, they only lost a few more than four games, and they lost four games in their first, like, I think, six efforts, something like that. And it was all before the tournament or the conference play
and
began.
You know, throughout the year, we may need to take this into the second segment. Throughout the year, they kept saying, okay, they're going to bounce back. They start out slow the year. They went to the championship game, and everyone kept waiting.
Yep.
And kept waiting.
Yep.
And, folks, we're in Tar Heel country here.
Yeah.
Many of you in Radio Maria, but we get a lot of insights around this team and what's going on with them. But continue the story.
Yeah, so you're going to follow this up because I think you know more about this than I do. But the bottom line was, if you do not get selected by what's called the selection committee to come into the 64-team tournament, you generally accept, virtually everybody accepts what is kind of the second-tier tournament. It's called the National Invitational. And virtually everybody that doesn't make that has a chance. And if you get invited to this, everybody wants to play a postseason game. It beats doing nothing, right? It gives an opportunity for the kids to travel and so forth
a
little bit.
New York City, I think, if it's still.
Well, the Final Four, but for the first few rounds, the first few rounds, you get to play whoever the higher seed gets to play at home.
Right.
So they declined. And when I read that, I could not help but thinking, Ed, the reason they declined is because of pride. This is a school that has as good as reputation as there is in any sport within their sport, right? UNC Chapel Hill, Dean Smith, Roy Williams. They have so many, we need a calculator to find out how many Final Fours that they've been in. But, brother, they declined. And this is what the coach said. All season, our focus and goal has been on being the best team we can possibly become and reaching our full potential to give us another opportunity to compete, play for, and win a national championship, the coach said. Although we no longer have that opportunity in this season, what was it what we hoped for? I want to thank our players and staff for their hard work and love for Carolina basketball. Okay, so that's all fluff. And then he goes on to say, many factors go into postseason play, and we believe now is the time to focus on moving ahead and preparing for next season. So let's take a break from that, and we'll come back. And Ed, you and I will continue to talk about this, but I think it's rooted in pride, as just about every sin is. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio and a co-production of Radio Maria. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more conversation about faith and sport in 2 minutes.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization, The proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling field agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Hey folks, Dr. John Aquaviva here, host of Faith in Sport. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio in a co-production of Radio Maria. Either wherever, whenever, however you're joining us, we were just thankful that you joined us. Boy, you can't go wrong if you have the Beatles in the background. Just
never,
a tremendous song.
Beatle bumper tunes.
I know. Fantastic.
Thank you, Chris.
Folks, this is Faith in Sport, where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. And listen, the second half of our show, Dr. Brian Bold, a longtime friend of the show, longtime friend of mine. He's a professor, dean of education at Calvin University. He's a golf coach. He has a book by the name of Sport, Faith, and Life. So needless to say, we talk the same language for several reasons. We're in the same field, and we're into this thing called sport and faith. Mm-hmm. Faith and sport in this case. Folks, just before the break, we started talking about our hit or misses for the week, Ed and I. And my miss is goes to Carolina basketball. This is UNC Chapel Hill, the big, right? There was UNC Asheville, for instance, there in the tournament. So there's a bunch of UNCs here in the state of North Carolina. But they declined to go to the NIT, which is the second tier tournament, if they don't get invited to the NCAA tournament. And they said that many factors go into postseason play, and we believe it's time to just look ahead. And I believe the reason that this is a miss is that they had an opportunity to improve their game this season. And I understand that there's might have been off-the-field stuff, but it's just it was a shocker to me and a little disappointing to know any team. Because a lot of teams have a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of reasons why people don't win as much as they wanted to win. But it was a surprise to me, and I thought it was pure pride. They were the number one preseason pick. They were the favorites to win the NCAA tournament this year. And when they didn't even get invited to play for the tournament, I think it was out of lack of better word, embarrassment, and they said no. But my friend, Ed, you have a little different take on
that. Well, just people I've talked to over this, there's always a story behind the story, John. Maybe. First of all, they took a poll of the players, the coach says, and the players didn't want to go.
Okay. So these following things were not in the paper. Or the
right, internet. And some of this is just conjecture, but they didn't want to go. And then there were a couple players that were struggling with a relationship over a common girlfriend. So there was that taken onto the court. So what Ed believes in talking to these people, there was a chemistry in that locker room that was a tad toxic.
Got it.
And you didn't have that kind of bonding and that relationship the winners have to have.
Right.
Could you imagine going to the NIT and getting knocked out the first round?
Yeah.
I mean, why kick yourself twice?
No, they have only something to lose. They have nothing to gain.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even if they win the tournament.
And knowing someone that would voted for them, they were on the coach's staff. He said, yeah, I voted for them. They were the first or second to even win that tournament. So we go there and we lose again. Please help me. So I think they avoided a second embarrassment. And I think he knew that he has to do he has work to do with chemistry on that team. You can bring in all the great guys from the NIL and from all this transfer portal, but if you don't build that chemistry, right. You know you're a coach, then you're not going to succeed.
No, those points are well taken. I do understand the second point about they have nothing to gain; they have only something to lose. I understand that, but the other stuff makes more sense to me, right? He's got locker room issues. There are issues of taking a poll, and virtually nobody wants to go, or more than half of the guys don't want to go. And certainly, as a coach, you do not want, because they are representing you ultimately, right? If this team goes out in the court and they are not playing hard and they're not trying hard and they seemingly have no care to win or lose that game, or regardless of the income, they're not going to care. That does make sense to me. But still, the thing about they have nothing to gain, only something to lose, that still comes down to pride. And I'd like to see them overcome that, because let's face it, University of Michigan, they were a top 25 team. People thought that they were going to be good.
They played great down the stretch.
It was thought that they were going to go far. There's all these teams in the NIT that were expected to do better things. There's some really, like Clemson, they were 23-10, and they were shunned by that. But they accepted this invitation. Now, I know Michigan has a better reputation, for instance, than Clemson in basketball, but UNC's right at the top of the list with teams like Duke and so forth. I understand what they're doing. I just don't agree with what they're doing.
You think about some of the kids on that team that may never be the All-Stars. Of course, only 2% go to the NBA. You deprive them of, you said it in the beginning of your miss here, you deprived them of that experience, which is sad.
Yeah, it is sad. All right, folks, let's move on. In case you're just joining us, this is Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria. Stay tuned, though. Second half of the show, just in about 10 minutes, Dr. Brian Bolt. Author, educator, and he's big on faith and sport, just like we are here at Faith and Sport. So listen to what he has to say. He's going to come on in just a few minutes. This one was in contention for my hit or miss, and it is a hit that has to do with a San Jose Sharks NHL hockey player. And his name is James Reimer. And brother, when I sent this to you over the weekend, I got a smile on my face, because I think this is one of those things that should be more controversial than it is, and for some reason it kind of goes unnoticed. But a couple weeks ago, we talked about another player in the NHL who refused to wear any type of rainbow colors in the warm-up because he said it was against his religious conviction to support anything that is against what's in Scripture or what he believes is God's word. And James Reimer, this goaltender of the San Jose Sharks, this past weekend refused to support and do the warm-up in this gay pride colors. I don't know, rainbow. I'm not quite sure what they were going to wear. But this is what he said, and this is why this was my hit. He said, quote, "Under the umbrella of the NHL's Hockey is for Everyone initiative, the San Jose Sharks have chosen to wear jerseys in support of the LGBTQ plus community tonight. For all 13 years of my NHL career, I've been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily. I have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and in response, asked me to love everyone and follow him. I have no hate in my heart for anyone, and I have always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I am choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal conviction, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life." Boy, I thought that was well stated. That is something that is encouraging to hear. And this takes a certain amount of courage. And there's a whole lot of NHL players, I think. I think there's a whole lot of players in all of the big sports and all of the smaller sports like soccer and so forth. And when I say the big sports, the big four are often and traditionally hockey, baseball, football, and basketball. But the minor sports like soccer and so forth and college sports, there's a lot on the line for some of those players, including like they're barely hanging on to a roster spot and so forth, Ed. And I think that this took a great deal of guts, regardless of where he stands in his community with the San Jose Sharks. I just love that he said this, and he articulated it very well, your comments.
Freedom of speech, freedom of expression.
Yeah.
And once businesses start getting involved in social issues, That could go awry very quickly.
That's right.
Knowing in 32 years I worked with an organization, we didn't touch any of this kind of stuff, okay? Politics, religion, you're forcing your employees to sacrifice their beliefs. And, you know, hats off to him.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's hockey. You're paying to go watch hockey.
That's right.
You're not going to support a certain organization like
that's
that.
Right.
And it was funny, just as you sent that to me, I saw a video that Johnny Carson, I think it was Mike Wallace of CBS News. For many of you younger folks, Johnny Carson was a late night host. And asked Johnny, why don't you get involved in politics? Why don't you state your position on politics and some of these social issues? He goes, listen, my audience is, I want 100% of the people out there. I just don't want to talk to some of the people.
Yeah,
and that's what some of these businesses are doing. Now,
yeah.
I'm not addressing the guy's personal beliefs. I understand that, and he has all the right to do that. But when businesses start going down this road, they're alienating, in the spirit of diversity, they're excluding certain groups of their fan base.
That's right.
Musicians do the same. Hollywood does the same. So that's a bad place to be, and hats off to him. And his wording was just right on.
Now, I know you and I have been – no, I agree. The wording was fantastic, and this is something – to learn from. In other words, next time you want to put out a tweet and you want to state your case, don't do it in one sentence or one little blurb, one little term. No. This guy used literally four paragraphs to talk about his feelings on this. Aren't you, and I know both you and I are, so I know the answer to this, and the question is, aren't you a little shocked at the fact that they potentially harm business? But I think it's because they're trying to determine which way the wind's blowing.
Oh, and yeah, they do.
But aren't you still a little shocked? I'm always a little shocked that the NHL and the NFL and other people take these stands, because all they have to do is take a simple poll, Ed, to know and find out that everybody doesn't agree with whatever
position they're taking. Well, the holding, kneeling during the national anthem and all that with the NFL went through years ago. I know people today that don't want to watch the NFL because of that. It's not because the play is poor, because they're not scoring enough points, or the refs are screwing up the game, you know, or it's none of that. So why cause yourself additional problems? I know you're trying to placate. Maybe it's a placate, but there got to be a better way around all that.
No, I agree. And you and I have talked about many times.
I don't have the answer.
No, I know. Unfortunately, either do I. But we do have enough of the answer to say this is sport. This is a true
entertainment.
This is a true form of entertainment. And it's a diversion from everyday moments of life and people going through hard times, and they want to be diverted just for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever the case is. They do not want Fox News or CNN to come into their TV screen during a hockey game.
No, exactly right.
All right, so we have a couple minutes before we go to break. And after the break, remember, we got Dr. Brian Bolt, professor in Dean of Education.
I love that last name.
I know, Dr. Brian Bolt.
Bolt.
So, brother, listen to this. This shows the power of football in our culture. So, on... our
football season's over, right?
You would think that it's in full swing at this point. So, Ed, last week I am exercising.
I know this is a little bug up your
I probably talked about this a couple times.
I like you on. Go ahead.
But this is
you're looking for
comical.
Baseball scores.
Well,
spring training,
brother, on the cable system at the gym where I work out at Wingate University, you can tap a button and see all the channels that come up, you know, all the movie channels, all the news channels and so forth. And all the ESPN channels come up. They're right together, right? ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN.
Three, ESPN4.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, of course, some of them are called like ESPNU and so
forth. ACC Network.
And so one by one, I tap on them. And now remember, this is March, right?
Yes.
This is...
spring training.
Golf is underway. And of course, as we know, baseball's about to start. Hockey's in mid-swing. Basketball's
MLS is kicking off.
So I turn on the first one, they're talking about the NFL. I turn on the second one, they're talking about the NFL. I turn on the third one, they're talking about the NFL. And of course, I'm thinking, as I'm hitting it, that you know how your mind works much faster than your finger can point. But I'm thinking, of course, the fourth one's going to be. And guess what was on the fourth one? Hatchet throwing. Chris, do you know what I'm talking about? Where there's these guys.
Axe throwing. It's axe throwing.
Oh, I thought it was hatchet throwing because they look like miniature axes. And so there's like this huge target.
That's a big thing. You ever done it?
Well, Ed, you're missing the point. I thought, like, Ed.
I don't want to take you down that hole. Go ahead.
It was so funny because it was the last thing I thought that I would see. And these guys, they're dead serious.
And it was a cornhole.
It wasn't cornhole. They're hatchet throwing. Do they call it axe throwing?
Axe throwing. There's certain bars and restaurants where you go throw some axes.
Gosh, that sounds dangerous.
Oh,
and
it
these
is.
Two guys, and the one guy, you know, he needs to hit the on the fourth
and
throw.
They're good.
Oh yeah, of course. There. And he needs to hit the bullseye, and he does it, and he claps his hands out of frustration
big
and walks
money,
away,
big money
takes
there.
A big sip of beer as he.
So it is axe throwing season. Oh geez.
I didn't know it was axe throwing.
I don't know if I want to be around a bunch of guys that's been drinking throwing axes.
No. I... That point is well taken. Folks, listen, we're going to go to break here in just a minute. And so the moral of the story is you may get one of the conversations on ESPN that talks about what's going on in the world sport, or you might get hatchet throwing. So be careful out there. Listen, Dr. Brian Bolt, we got our stat of the day, the quick Q&A with Dr. A, all coming up after the break. You're listening to Faith and Sport.
Stay with us, folks.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. Dr. John Acquaviva here. I'm joined by co-host Ed Billick. He's sitting right there. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Listen, folks, what we do here at Faith and Sport is we merge sport and virtue. So it's balls and strikes, X's and O's here on this program, but we also try to bring in ethics, morality, and other things related to that to bring into the conversation. So we gel those two things together. And our guest here in just 1 minute, Dr. Brian Bolt, does that really well. So check out his podcast, Sport, Faith, Life, and he has a book by the same name. He's going to join us in just 1 minute. You know, one of the things you and I were talking about on the way here is the pain of being a fan, right, Ed? And I experienced it full throttle this past weekend. The aforementioned tournaments, Michigan, my team, was in the NIT, the second tier of those tournaments.
And Ed, they were ahead by 8 points with less than a minute to go. And in basketball, that's not a guarantee.
That's a long time.
Yeah, but it's also 8 points is a lot of points, right? You're kind of expected to win that game. They never scored a point after that. Vanderbilt scored 9 straight points and won the game. And my son goes, how do they? I didn't even know how to explain to him, John, how they lost. What do you say to that?
No, I think you need some emotional help. You're too tied to sports. You take more time with your family.
What my question is, who won the axe throwing?
Yeah, I think it was hatchet throwing.
Don't let him get started with that.
You know who can? You know it can help bring some perspective to this is
we
Doc.
Need help us.
Our guest that's coming up, Dr. Brian Bolt.
He needs his help.
Oh yeah, I need his help greatly because he can help put all this to rest. Dr. Bolt, welcome to the program, buddy. How you doing today?
Hey, Dr. Acquaviva, and just for the record, I would say I agree with Ed. You need some emotional help. I think that there's obviously an investment in sport that is real and a part of it that is actually just made up, right? And as we throw ourselves into sport, it has the opportunity to really lift us up.
Yep.
But it certainly has the opportunity to drag us down, and in that Michigan game, you got dragged down.
I did. Now, let me ask you, Brian, you and I have known each other for a long time, about 25 years. If I do my math correctly, it's something like 25 years. But I've never known you. And maybe it's Grand Rapids versus Detroit, right? Like, you're so far from the major. And I know you've gone through some pains with the Lions and so forth and, you know, in Detroit, all that, in the NFL, I should say. But I've never known you to have those painful moments with losses and those joyous occasions with wins. Did you go through that as a young guy, or does that still happen now and you just don't really talk about it? Because you seem kind of like, I don't know, you're like coded from that or something. Tell me about that.
Well, you should probably talk to my wife about that. she would set you straight. I am one of those from childhood, one of those really invested, probably over-invested sports fans.
Yes.
And I can remember as a child throwing myself on the couch when Larry Bird stole the ball from, in that case, it was the Detroit Pistons.
That's right.
I was quite upset about that loss. A number of other losses that I can remember, some being my own. You know, I would just mope in the back seat of the car, sad that we had lost. We were out of the tournament, whatever it was, usually baseball. And to this day, I think, you know, even this tournament, right, this March Madness tournament, my team, who I follow every year because I went there, was the North Carolina Tar Heels. And because they didn't make the tournament, all of a sudden I'm not as interested.
Got it.
So I definitely follow teams. I definitely feel the joy of victory and the agony of defeat. So if you're not seeing that in me, I'm just pretty good at hiding it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must be good at hiding it because all the times that we talked. In fact, I remember sitting in your office one time and I was hurting from a Tigers loss or a Lions loss, a Red Wings loss, something. And I was just like, don't you feel anything? And I think you pointed to the door and go, I have work to do, right? Like.
Yeah.
I don't remember you ever like having that. I think you've been somewhat insulated from it or by it. But yeah, I think you maybe just hide it better than most. And at the top of that list, would it be with the most frustrations would probably entail the Detroit Lions, right? Am I correct with that?
Certainly the longest, right?
Yeah, the longest.
So I'm still coaching. So last year, my team won a championship in the fall. I'm a golf coach. And then when we were getting ready for our postseason tournament late in the spring, we were the odds-on favorite, and we just completely laid an egg. We shot a super high number. We didn't make it to the postseason, and that was a pretty sad van ride on the way home. So I feel it probably most with the team that I coach, but certainly the Lions have broken my heart year after year for, going on 45 years of my life. I don't remember anything before age, well, I suppose maybe 50 years. So I think the Lions have done that to a number of people. They're unique in their just relentless ability to bring you to the point of belief and then to pull the rug out from under you. Well, yeah, I've felt it. I know you felt that too, right?
Oh, yeah. Year after year. And it goes on and on. But listen, brother, this is about you. I want to talk a little bit about your podcast. Your podcast is called Sport, Faith, Life. And you've been doing this for a while, like we've been doing this show. When you first started on this venture of bringing this the voices of faith and sport to the, you know, airwaves of the internet and so forth, what was your goal? Did, like, when you first started doing this with Dr. Carlson, did you guys set out, do you have a particular goal in mind or goals in mind? Are you guys just, let's just see where this takes us? Take us through that process on why you started this and where it's taking you today.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. It's called Sport Faith Life, and you can find it at sportfaithlife.com. Just squeeze all the words together. Chad and I, Chad Carlson, we're from rival schools. And so my biggest rival is Hope College when I compete, and his biggest rival is Calvin University. And so we started to collaborate on a number of different projects just in terms of writing about sport and faith and then collaborating at a conference. And both of us had been in it for a while, working as scholars, working as practitioners. Coach Chad was a basketball coach. I was a golf coach. And when we thought about the podcast, we thought, you know, a number of people are just kind of staying in their own room when they talk about sport and faith. And so you have this group, a really large group of academics who write about sport and faith, and then you have another group of sport chaplains who work with athletes, and they sort of stay in their own room, and then you have this whole other group of athletes and coaches and administrators who sort of stay in their own room when they're talking about issues of sport and faith, connections, in our case, of Christianity and sport.
Yep.
And what we were trying to do is bring all of those people out of their individual rooms into one big room. And we thought that there was a lot of information that could be shared from each of those different areas. And so our podcast became a place where we could do accessible things. And so if we were talking to a scholar who had written a book, we wanted to make that accessible to everyone and just talk about it in layman's terms, because not a lot of people have time to do research and study in the way that scholars do. And sometimes scholars aren't very good at sharing information in written form, for sure.
That's right.
That is accessible and practical and useful and helpful to people that are engaging in it day to day. So our goal in the podcast was to hear from those coaches, those athletes, those chaplains about their day-to-day work, and then hear from those scholars about the work they've done in research and cross over in terms of the conversation. And so we just call it the place where sport and Christianity intersect.
Yep.
But it's also the place where these different voices and different participants intersect. And so it's been pretty successful in terms of being able to do that. I think we want to have a sharpness to it that isn't just what we call sort of fanboy kinds of talk, where we love talking about sports, but yeah, we want to also talk about sport and faith.
Yep.
And so I think you try to do the same thing on your radio show. You try to really engage in that conversation we love, which is sitting around chatting about what happened the night before. At the same time, we want to get into this idea of where does virtue in sport exist?
Yep.
Where does vice in sport exist? How can we identify things that are working well? How can we make things better? Where does faith formation come in sport? So lots of those big questions.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just joining us here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria, joining us on the show today is Dr. Brian Bolt. He's a professor of physical education, the dean of education at Calvin University, and talking about his podcast, Sport, Faith, Life. He has a book by the same name, so check that out. Now, I want to know, Brian, what makes a good guest? Like, when somebody is on your show and they are a particularly good guest, I want to know what makes them a good guest. But before that, one of the things that I do on this show when you're on is I ask you random trivia questions, and I try to come at all these different angles and just to see how sharp of a guy are you, as sharp as you seem to be. You ready?
Well, first I'd say a good guest is somebody smarter than me and funnier than me. So, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. In the 2018-2019 Calvin University men's golf roster, Sam Holland and Andrew Lack were from the same high school. What high school were they from?
That's easy. That's DCC, the Shamrocks of Detroit Catholic Central.
Okay, I gotta get a little tougher here. No, what on your podcast, when you guys bring somebody on and you look at Chad and you go, gosh, this was a really good guest, what makes them a good guest?
Well, I think it's really important that the guest has something to say, but that's kind of our job to get that to come out.
Yeah.
The guest is somebody that's really passionate about something. And so in this case, we're looking for somebody who's passionate about sport, passionate about the intersections between sport and Christianity, and then has something to say based either on their practice experience. And so we'll talk to coaches, we'll talk to athletes, we'll talk to sports chaplains, sports ministry professionals, and they have so many lived experiences, so many examples of where they have intervened with others in the name of Jesus Christ in the world of sport, but they also have real unique perceptions about the culture of sport.
Yeah.
What sort of issues athletes deal with day to day. And so Christian athletes have lots of different frustrations, but they also have similar frustrations to people in the workforce. And so what we're trying to do is make this a bit more accessible, make it interesting. Sometimes we'll talk to an author or a researcher, somebody who's written something, and they've had a chance to really dig in.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to, we recently talked to Matt Hoven, who wrote a book about called The Eighth Day. He's actually a Catholic researcher and has spent a lot of time thinking about how sport intersects with faith through his lens. Book was about hockey. I mean, he has a pond in his backyard. He plays still with all of his kids, and he wrote the book about sort of that eighth day being the eighth day that Gretzky was created. So he spent a lot of time thinking about it. He was a great guest on our show, and there's just been a lot of wonderful guests.
No, you guys have had some really good guests, and you know, partly I'm doing this show because you guys were doing something like this. And I said, you know what? I think I can do that too. Of course, we don't do near as good as job, but I'm trying.
If those guys can do it, then anybody.
Hey, listen, Brian, can you hang with us through the break? Because I want to ask you one more question, and I'm going to set the audience up with this so they can think about this through you. Brian, through this podcast, through this lens that you've been looking through sport at for the last decade or so, maybe longer, this sport and virtue lens, has it changed the way you view sport? So let's come back to that. Think about that question. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. Hang with us here, folks. We'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll have a little longer conversation with Dr. Brian Bolt.
Carolina Catholic Media News. Converging Roads presents Catholic Medicine in a Secular Society, an in-person and online presentation on Saturday, March 25th from 9:15 to 6:45 at St. Gabriel Catholic Church, 3016 Providence Road, Charlotte. Join national and local experts as they discuss such topics as religious liberty in medicine, the vocation of a Catholic healthcare professional, and genetic screening. Up to 7 hours of continuing education hours will be offered to healthcare professionals and hospital chaplains. This conference is presented by St. John Paul II Foundation, the Diocese of Charlotte, and Belmont Abbey College. To register, visit convergingroads.com. For the Carolina Catholic Media News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at motherangelicamuseum.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy for the Obligation Radio Show. Make sure to tune in on Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. to catch our latest episodes. From kids to marriage to business and church to politics to current events, we discuss topics of faith and life to help you become the man, the father, the husband God is calling you to be. Catch replays streaming throughout the week and on demand over the Carolina Catholic Radio app or anytime at carolinacatholicradio.org. God bless and esto vir.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. We are talking with our guest, Brian Bolt. He's a professor of physical education and the host of the podcast Sport, Faith, Life. He has a book by the same name, and we're in a conversation with him. Brian, I wanted you to think about this question. Do you look at sport now through this lens of sport and virtue? But before you do, longtime Lions quarterback Gary Danielson, and fairly successful, where did he go to college?
Oh, man. You may have stumped me.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. It was one of the major, the university he went to, the basketball team in the tournament, was one of the major upsets where he went to school.
This year?
Yes.
The upset this year?
Yep. Big Ten.
Didn't go to, let's see, FAU? No.
No, it was a Big Ten school.
Oh, it was a Big Ten school that was upset?
Yep.
Was it Purdue?
It was. And I have a friend that went to Purdue as an undergrad, and I don't, you know, we're supposed to see each other next week, but I think I'm going to give him another month before I call him.
This is really sad.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was hurting because of that Michigan loss, which was brutal, right? If anything is brutal, it's when you are expected to win the national championship and you lose in the first round to a 16 seed. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if there's a bigger loss that I can ever remember. I mean, there have been big losses in the tournament, but this one,
big.
Wow, I don't know how they recover from this.
No, I know, but last time, remember, it's only happened twice. The last time it happened, Virginia lost to UMBC, and the very next year, Brian, they not only recovered, they won the national title. It was great.
Well, that's a good redemption story.
Yes. So
I'll root for Purdue, at least for a while. Yeah,
until the season starts.
Exactly.
I'll root for them just to, you know, regather their limbs from the floor and just start to walk again. So, Brian, what do you think about this? I think this is a decent question.
It's a great question.
Yeah, so how, just give us an example or two, or if at all, you see sport through a different lens. Just since you started to write about sport and virtue, talk about sport and virtue, talk to all these people that write about it and research and so forth. How has it changed you as a fan of sport?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I came in as a lover of sport, right? I was a participant. I was a coach. I was, from day one, I had a ball in my hand. And so when I started to really dig into sport, you start to see a little of the less than perfect aspect of sport. And then it's easy to get cynical. And so I guess my first jump into this, and this would have been in the years that I was spending time with you in Virginia, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start to notice some of the idolatry in sport and some of the money that seems a little distasteful. And then you go to the violence and the exploitation. And you even think about unfairness. You know, some people have opportunities to play, other people don't. You think about how it's connected to education. Maybe it should be, maybe it shouldn't be. And so I had a pretty, I went from a really positive view of sport to a very skeptical view.
Interesting.
Which forced me to dig into what I really loved about sport. And as a gift, really a gift from God as a form of play.
Yeah.
How this could then be redeemed.
Yeah.
And so I kind of grew that love back as I started to dig into, well, why do I love this so much? And one of the reasons is that I just love the excellence of it. I love the craft. I love the process of trying to be excellent. I love the affiliation. I love to connect with a larger group.
Yep.
So you and I are Lions fans. For some reason, in all of that misery, there's something, you know, uplifting, something relational.
Yeah.
And we love those parts of it as well. And be, because I have dug into what sport is just in and of itself, I think defined properly, sport is a real enhancement to life. It's when sport is leveraged so heavily that in one direction or another, that it kind of moves out of play and it moves into work. And I really like that. I understand that a little bit better. It's helped me keep sport in perspective in my own life. And I really do believe that the competition of sport needs to be there, right? Yeah. I'm not trying to root out the things that put it on a razor's edge. I mean, competition reveals some pretty ugly things.
It does, yeah.
And yet sport is competition.
Absolutely.
And so instead of trying to root that out of sport, I try to work to look for redemptive aspects of competition, for virtue within it, and to imagine even, like, you know, on our podcast, we did a six-week series on whether or not Jesus would play. Now, that's pure speculation and maybe even blasphemy, but we asked that question. Would Jesus play hockey? Would Jesus power lift? Would Jesus play basketball? And by doing that, we walk through the positive aspects of that sport, maybe some of the things we'd be nervous about with that sport, and it's helped me understand sport in a new way.
I love it. You know, one of the things, in fact, I was not going to share this with you, but I figure it's right out there. I always try to end on a really kind of deep question and then cut you off from fully answering that question so I can entice you to come on again in a couple months. Brother, you are so gracious with your time. I consider you a friend. I consider you a friend of the show. Thank you so much. And there's two things in the future. There's going to be another invite to be on the show so we can talk further about questions like this. And there's more trivia. And by the way, that's one of the few questions Gary Danielson going to Purdue that you got wrong. So you have to just like be like those people on Jeopardy and just pick up encyclopedias and start reading useless information about sport, and maybe you'll get all the questions from me correct, brother.
I have a direction to go. John, you are a very good friend. I will always come on your show if ever invited. I really appreciate the invitation, and best to you in this endeavor.
I appreciate that, brother. And you're a great witness to the Christian faith. I appreciate you for many reasons, brother. You have a good day, and we'll talk soon.
Till next time.
Okay, buddy. There you go, folks. Dr. Brian Bolt. Check out his podcast, Sport, Faith, Life, and the book by the same name, Sport, Faith, Life. He's the Dean of Education at Kelvin University. As you heard, he's the golf coach there. This guy's done a lot of stuff. He's got some great insight. Ed, I'm going to turn the question to you. He gave a great response, right? Like, in other words, he, to sum up what he said about how has this changed his view of sport, he's more a little more cynical, but yet he sees it from a different aspect, like this is relational. This has some positive aspects to it. How, we've been doing this now for 5 or 6 years together. And so we started talking about, you know, sport and virtue years ago. Do you watch and listen to sport from a different lens than you did prior to us starting this venture?
You know, initially you asked the question and I had to give it some thought, but yesterday during the Valspar tournament, I'm pulling for Jordan Spieth, a good Catholic boy, good Catholic man.
Former Catholic of the week.
Okay, had I known that, would I still be pulling for Jordan Spieth? I don't know. I watch teams during March Madness and what they do during timeouts and how they coach each other, how they're there for each other.
Yeah.
Do they point to each other when someone makes a great assist? So maybe I'm more astute to that kind of thing versus just the winning and losing.
Out of curiosity, is, like Brian mentioned, he's a little more cynical about the sport, right? Some of the negatives about it, but he's also like, gosh, I never thought of it from this relational standpoint, this kind of brotherhood that is created through being a fan and so forth.
Well, you know, when you listen to some of the guests you've had on this show and some of the other people I've listened to, coaches, they're teaching the game, but they're teaching life and life's lessons. So those that do real good at it, like Bob McCullough, who's a devout Roman Catholic.
That's right.
He has taken Davidson College. Forget the Steph Curry thing. That's a whole special little task in itself.
No, they're a special team.
But he's been able to mold young men.
That's right.
I always like to think Joe Paterno did that. Young men so they can go on to life and maybe become professional, but they become professional in their business. They become leaders among corporations.
Right.
I think that all plays into the morals and values, which this show kind of promotes. I think that's so very important.
So let me put you on the spot here, brother. Is your glass half full or is it half empty?
It's half full. It's always half full.
Okay, good. Because mine might be half empty on this. And what I mean by that, folks, and Ed, what I mean by that is I think I'm a little more cynical than sport uplifts me. because I think because of this show, like my antenna are up to look for things that happened to talk about, to look for things that happened that, to correct, to look for things and listen to things that I can kind of critique and bring in our faith and why, you know, why this is poor behavior or actual sinful behavior. What were you
Well, but you know, you just triggered a thought. And I also look at ownership in a different way, where there's these selfish owners. It's just all about me, Pittsburgh Pirates, and don't care about the fan base. That's turned me off tremendously.
Yeah. Who are the owners of the Pirates?
Bob Nutting.
He's a nut, isn't he? No, that's that.
No, he's a good. He's a good man.
Is he?
Yeah. Well, you can't be saying that on Christian radio. He's a nut.
I don't even know him. I actually don't even know him.
No. But, he is a terrible owner.
Yeah.
And he's not pleasing the fan base.
That's interesting. You believe he's a good man, but he's a terrible owner. And, yes. And those aren't exclusive. So
I mean, so I look at things. To answer your question, yes, I do. I guess I do after all these years talking with you on Faith and Sport.
Sure. And to kind of like further that conversation just by a couple seconds is, yes, mine is kind of like half empty, but it is certainly that part that is full is very full because I, like Brian, see so many good things that can come out of sport and that do come out of sport, right? That's the whole reason we're bringing this, right, is to how to help create more virtuous fans, more virtuous coaches, more virtuous players.
And then an example of how you can bring up your children in the same vein.
Yeah.
So you can teach as a father and, you know, as a mother for our listeners.
That's right. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. We only got a couple minutes left, but one of the things I promised is the stat of the day. Brother, listen to this. One of the things that Brian mentioned, Dr. Bolt mentioned, was all the money that's involved. And right, that could be kind of like the negative, kind of the sinister part of sport. Maybe that's too strong of a word, but certainly a lot of people have a hard time with that. I saw a stat, and I can say this without any hesitation, that the offensive and defensive coordinator for the Alabama football teams were just given their contracts for next year. They're both going to make $1.9 million per season. They're not even the head coach. What's your thought on this?
Well, they're public employees. That's government money.
Yeah.
That comes from taxpayers.
By the way.
But what percent of them do good and create foundations and help the less need, help the needy, you know, the less fortunate? Because that's another spinoff of this, which we don't delve into. You only can spend so much money in life.
Yeah,
I mean, you're gonna how many yachts? You know, how many houses? You're gonna donate that money, and so a lot of good is a spill-off of that kind of money. Yes, no?
Yeah, no, of course. And that's one thing that we have actually, we've talked about in here, like all these people, the college players with their nil money and people that have raised money for good causes, both Catholic and non-Catholic. In fact, some of them are probably...
The Charlotte Hornets do a great job in the city of Charlotte. They may stink on the floor, but they're helping a lot of needy people.
Listen to this, brother, just to put it in perspective. This will be interesting. I'm at the state of Alabama politicians, right? And this is current salaries. Now, remember, these guys are making $1.9 per year. The governor makes $127,000. I know. I have to laugh. It's because it's kind of it's a farce in comparison. By the way, $127,000 is a good salary, right? You're doing pretty good when that's what you make. You know, we talked about the quick Q&A with Dr. A. We're going to have to nix that for right now. We'll get to it next time. Brother, any final thoughts from this show or anything that's going on in your head about
the good work? Keep up the good work.
I appreciate
that. Stuff, folks. We love hearing from you.
Yep.
How can we get a hold of you in those last 30 seconds? How can they get a hold of you, John?
Yep. You can tweet me at j.aquaviva1. That's the number one, j.aquaviva1. Or you can email me at faithandsport. All one word, A-N-D in there, faithandsport@wingate.edu.
Give us your thoughts. Give us your opinions. Until next time.
Absolutely. And before we go, special thank you to you, brother, co-host Ed Billick, to Dr. Brian Bolt, for you, producer of the show, Chris Pressler, for all you did on the show today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more Faith and Sport. St. Sebastian,
pray for us.
You've been listening to Faith and Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app. We've also been broadcasting across Radio Maria today. I want to thank all of our Radio Maria listeners for tuning in to Faith and Sport today as well. And we want to invite you to stop by CarolinaCatholicMedia.org or the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app to check out the Faith and Sport Archive. And when you go there, make sure to hit that Donate Now button to help keep Faith and Sport on the air in Carolina Catholic Radio.